before, but I am just ready to take on the new year.
I know. Well, it is Thursday, December 29th, and this is, I think, one of the first years that we're not all going to be in the same place. I actually just thought about that right now.
Yeah, last year we had COVID, or I had COVID, and then turned out that everybody had COVID, but it was very awkward. I was like...
I haven't gotten COVID.
I'm sure you did.
When?
Like, when we were all sick last year.
I didn't get fever, nada. I haven't tested positive
for
COVID.
There's this line that I say that everyone's afraid of Luis. Even
COVID?
Nada se le puede pegar a Luis.
So anyways, it is Thursday, December 29th, and yeah, that just literally crossed my mind. Like, Rick is in, where is he?
He's in Reno, Nevada.
Uh-huh, and with his in-laws, and then you all are going to Vegas for the weekend, and Fernando and I nos vamos a quedar aquí solitos.
Pero ¿por qué
quieren? No, porque pues Fer trabaja y ni modo que yo me vaya.
Y quieren andar de putis.
Oh my god.
Well, we gotta.
So, anyways, changing subject. How have you been with my aunt being here?
I have been very neutral. I was just having a conversation with my friend today. We went to go have lunch. That she is just doing a lot of changes up in here. Y no sé cuál sea su conciencia, but I mean.
Well, you know what? It definitely feels like she's trying to make things, like, not make things better, but like she's trying to, ¿cómo se dice? Like, make up? No, it's not making
make
up.
Make amends.
Okay. Make amends. Make amends, right? You know, one day she's nice, and then the next day she's like giving you a backhanded compliment. Like, it's so ridiculous. And for me, it's really triggering because, you know, she's saying things that are hurtful, but she wants to say them in like a joking manner. And I think this episode's going to be a little bit serious because I want to talk about mental health and the importance of mental health. We did speak about this in earlier episodes, and we said how she was like, pásame el contacto de tu terapeuta. But in reality, it's like these things are serious, and how do you navigate around them? Like, she's basically said several things that have been hurtful. Like, the first one is, you know, all I see is you not building longevity in a job because of what I do, which is be creative, do freelance. Yes, she said that.
And why did she tell you this?
During dinner the other day. And I was like, first of all, how is that fucking any of your business? And two, you would not understand, even if I tried to explain to you what it is that I'm doing. But I am lucky enough to have gone through therapy where my therapist, you know, has given me the necessary tools to kind of navigate this, right? But it's still kind of hurtful. It's like, what are you saying? That you don't believe in me? That you don't, like, ¿cómo se dice? Approve of, like, the path that I'm taking? And then also she brought up the age. Like, you know, she's saying, like, you are old. You're, like, old. And I'm, like, in my head, wait, I'm one of, first of all, I'm not. Second of all, I don't have kids. And she is looking at my life through the heteronormative spectrum. Like, it's so much.
Who's the favorite now?
Still me, bitch.
No, I think en primera no te tiene que importar because she was not in our lives. I mean, maybe in partial of your life, but I think that it's something that, I mean, might hurt because you're just kind of like, who are you to come into my house and change everything and then start to tell me shit? But, like, I mean,
I know, but I get that. Like, her comments are neither here nor there because we didn't grow up with her. But at the same time, it makes me think, like, those of you that are listening out there that have family coming over specifically because of these holidays, or that you go to Mexico and you visit family.
And, like, then you get judged.
And then you get judged. Yeah. Like, literally all those memes I've seen on TikTok, on Instagram of, like, y el novio?
Y la novia? Oh my God, yeah.
you know, like, shit like that, right? It's like, holy shit, we've never experienced that because we don't have family here.
Yeah.
We've never, like, literally hung out with family for, like, the holidays or anything like that. And so this is the first time we're seeing that. And now I'm in my head. In my head, I'm going through all of these TikToks where it's, like, getting ready to fight the family and getting ready to get triggered. And I, in my head, I'm like, ha, 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 ha. It's so funny. But now it's, like, literally happening in my own home. And I'm like, thank the fucking universe that I've taken this therapy. Because it literally is giving me tools to be able to, like, navigate through this. But how do you do it? Like, how do you deal with it if you don't have, like, the necessary tools? Because those kind of comments can be so hurtful. And just today we were talking about how they grew up, my mom and her. And even them interacting and bickering at each other. Like, they've, like, bicker at each other and give each other fucking backhanded, like, como se dice, backhanded slaps, or como se dice?
Yeah, like very...
like backhanded compliments. Like she'll be like...
Like throwing shade.
Yeah, oh my God, yes. Like throwing shade back and forth. And my mom and her, like, I've seen a side of my mom that I've never seen before. And I'm like, holy shit.
Is she very, like...
Like a very mean side, but because we've never seen her interact with her siblings. It's like you and I, how we interact and sometimes we say things to each other that are hurtful. Like seeing my mom.
Sometimes, Lisa.
Seeing my mom say hurtful things to her sister and then back and forth. I just feel like I'm with a complete stranger. I feel like I'm with, like, las señoras del mercado. Like, that's how I've experienced these last couple of days.
I mean, but you also have to look at it in a perspective of, like, in a way, this is my mom, you know, not getting over her traumas, but kind of, like, speaking up. Because I feel like when she was younger, she was the oldest, and she couldn't really talk back to her siblings because, you know, she was, like, the example or, like, the older one or whatever. And I feel like right now it's, like, her trying to be, like, okay, now I'm gonna fuck you up, girl.
Pero it's really, really weird because even some of the things that she shared with us are very, obviously very intimate, right? Of when pasó hambre and how she got her child through school and how, like, all these things that are very intimate. She's saying that she sold bread to help get her child through college. And when I told her that I sold rebozos or that I sell things through my online website, she's like, she really, like...
Like, you? How? How are you doing that?
Exactly. Yeah. Si sabes? It was just, in my head, I'm like, you did that. So why are you looking down on me selling these items online? Like, it's just been so weird. And again, I am so happy that I have been taking therapy, because otherwise I think that these comments and these things that are going on would definitely, like, weigh super heavily on me. But I did want to bring this up because, again, as I mentioned earlier, I've never experienced this, and it feels like now I understand what these TikTokers and these memes are all about. Like, it's important to take your mental health into consideration. And since this is going to be our last episode of the year, right, because I want to put this out before the new year, I just would like for anybody that's listening out there to really consider therapy. If somebody would have told me about therapy 4 or 5 years ago, I would have said, I know, says mamon.
Yeah, no, and it's very important. I was even having this conversation today with a friend that, like, we have a lot of traumas based on how we were raised, que a veces no entendemos, or that we're doing things now in our lives that we're just like, how, like,
we don't, why are we doing this?
Yeah, like,
why are we
fully
reacting
understand.
Or acting this way? Yeah,
but it really has to do with a lot of how we were raised, how our parents were raised, and how their siblings are, you know, we're you know, making them deal with things. For example, right now with mom, like, obviously mom was the oldest, and I'm sure she had to go through a lot of, like, traumas with them.
Yeah.
And so now I feel like mom's kind of, like, you know.
Well, one of the things, oh, sorry to interrupt, but one of the things that, okay, just to put this into context, right? Judith is the youngest sibling. I am the oldest. I'm 40 years old. You are 28. So the upbringing that Judith had was completely different from my upbringing and Ricardo's upbringing, right? And you have traumas from childhood that you've been slowly letting us know about, like the fact that my mom went to college and she was always working, you felt some sort of abandonment.
And I, oh my God, and I was just telling my friend this. I have come to the realization que si tengo mommy issues, that the fact that I always wanted to be like perfect at everything because I was the only girl growing up. And it was kind of like me and my mom, no? We were the only females in the house, I guess. So I always had this, like, I always have to be the best at everything. I always have to go, like, above and beyond. Not only that, but, like, she was a teacher. She's a teacher. And so everything that she would do, it was like, I have to do it just how she's telling me to do it or better, right? And then it goes into how we are as people or how we are into our relationships. For example, myself, like, I always went above and beyond for my significant other or the person that I was dating. And so it's like those little things now, I'm like, oh my God, like I now understand why I am this person that always like
tries to go above and beyond.
Yeah, but then who's gonna go above and beyond for me?
But you know what I just realized, because you have said this before, that like one of your traumas growing up is that my mom wasn't always there. And I remember her traveling for work, traveling to San Luis Obispo.
The time that I
but hold on. But now that you're mentioning how you feel like you have to go above and beyond, for me, that basically is saying that you tried to go above and beyond to get attention from my mom.
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
Not because she didn't want to give you attention, but because she was busy.
Yeah, no, yeah.
So anyways, all of those traumas are, you know, we all have them. And my sister grew up in a different time, and I would say a better time than my brother and I, yet you still have traumas. So if this generation has these traumas and we don't go to therapy to fix them and to work on them.
Break cycles.
Today, I realize how much more trauma my mom has and her generation and my aunt.
And going back, I was like, wait, I was telling my friend, I'm like, wait, mi mamá es un ángel. Like, I am just so, I think growing up, we were always kind of very questionable about, like, why did we grow up here? Why are we so far from our family? Why don't we have primos, tías, abuela, whatever, etc. And now I'm like, I am just so, so blessed. Like, this might sound a little mean, but like, I am so, so blessed and thankful and just so grateful to my parents for giving us the opportunity to come here and give us the opportunity to grow differently, because I feel that my parents would have stayed in Mexico, I think maybe mom wouldn't even have been with dad, and maybe I wouldn't even have been in the picture. And so, like,
maybe they should have not come here.
And so all these things make you realize now as an adult that what you were missing or what you thought you were missing out on as a child wasn't really what you were really missing out on, if that makes sense. But I was like, mi mamá es un ángel, like,
well, because we always think the grass is greener on the other side. Like, we're, you know, we do see it with other friends who have huge families. But I think that our case is not an isolated case, right? I'm sure that there's a lot of people that are listening that can relate to this. But our family in Mexico, like, they're just so
toxic.
They're very toxic. And that's the side of, like, my mom's side. And then my dad, like, they have their pedos too, and
it's very neutral with dad.
I don't know. I feel like they do also have their pedos, but we just don't hear about them because we're not, like, my dad's not close to his family. He's the youngest of 18 children, and or 16 children, I'm sorry. And going back to the therapy and to put it into perspective, it's very important to seek that help. I think, again, 4 years ago, I would have said, no mames, that's, like, not for me. But I think that if you have an opportunity to see a therapist, for me, it was really important for my therapist to speak Spanish. And so my therapist is in La Ciudad de Mexico. And I loved talking to her because she was, like, very brutally honest. Like, she wasn't sugarcoating anything. And I remember very vividly my first therapy session with her. I wasn't with Fernando at the time, and I was like, why am I attracting these bad people? And we went through this exercise, and she was like, ¿cómo quieres atraer abejas si eres una mierda? And you're attracting flies. And I was like, holy shit, that's, like, hardcore. Like, I don't think a therapist would be that hardcore in the U.S. because we always have to be so politically correct and
sugarcoat everything. And no, she is. I also had a session with her, and she's like brutally blunt.
She's very blunt.
But in a good way, I feel that makes you just realize, like,
I mean, not for everybody, because a lot of people that I know have reached out to her, and some come back and some don't, because it might not be for you.
Yeah.
But I personally love it. Her name is Luz, and maybe I'll put her information on. But anyways, it's just been such a learning lesson having my aunt here and seeing this new person, like, come out. Like, they'd be mama.
It's like meeting a new person, too, because we don't know this side of my aunt.
And my mom. We don't know. Like, I didn't know this side of my mom. Like, and it's been years since I've gone to, like, Mexico with her, where I go and we visit the family. I think the last time was with, like, Rick's wedding that I went. So, anyways, therapy is important, y'all. Mental health is important, and it is real. And the reason why you act or react a certain way now as an adult has a lot to do with your upbringing. So,
especially now, I feel as the younger generation, speaking for myself, it's truly very, very important, because I feel that we carry a lot of other traumas that we're not fully aware of, because we're still trying to, like, find an identity within ourselves and also trying to grow up. But it's truly, like, once you start to see it and then, you know, go to, like, therapeutic sessions, it's like, oh my god, like, shit.
Yeah, it's like eye-opening. So 2022 is coming to an end. What have you learned this year?
I have learned to take time as it comes. I feel like the previous year was very hard for us, but this year was kind of like the year where it kind of went all, you know, semi back to normal. But one, definitely the things that I learned is definitely take, you know, your time with everything. I know a lot of times you're like, oh, you compare your life to, like, what everybody else is doing.
To the Kardashians, it's just so difficult not to.
And you kind of just go living your life at a, like, robotic way, you know? Like, every day you gotta work, you gotta do this, you gotta, like, come home.
On autopilot.
Yeah, and it's like, there's so much to your life than for you to be this, like, person. And I also did go through, like, a very scary experience at the doctor maybe, like, 2 months ago, where I fainted for the first time in 28 years. And I think that was very eye-opening, because I was literally pushing my body to the fullest, and I was not living in the present. And I was just like, how can I, again, going back to the trauma, how can I be the best that I can be? But in reality, it's like, way, like, you're doing the best that you can, and that should be enough, you know? But yeah, most definitely, I think just taking it day by day, and, you know, cherishing everything and being in the present, because life is very, very short. And with what you said a couple of days ago or whatever, que global warming is coming and we only have 5 years to live. It's a scary thought, you know? It's a scary thought to think that you are just living in autopilot and you're not really enjoying what's happening around you or what's happening in your life. Or your, you know, brother, sibling's life, your parents' life, what they're going through. I think this year, too, when I turned 28, I was like, I always have a party. I always have, like, a birthday party. I always want to do, like, the most. Mm-hmm. And this year, I was like, I don't want to do anything, because I just realized, like, I'm getting older. My parents are getting older. And I kind of just wanted to soak up the fact that, like, oh, my God, I'm about to hit my 30s soon. And am I living in the present, you know? And I think that's very important, that I wish maybe at 25 I was like, okay, girl, live in the present and stop worrying about etc.
Okay, well, I hope you listened to your own advice, because you were worrying about where you were going to spend your New Year's Eve, and you wanted to go out and
and
do the hotivities in Las Vegas.
And no, this is another thing, too. I told my friend, she was like, why don't you stay? And I'm like, I would love to stay, because obviously I know that we're going to go out. I'm going to stay with you guys. We're going to do something fun. But I already know where we're going to end up at, either like a bar or a club.
At Indio.
And I think this is the time where I'm like, I do not want to start the year doing the same things again. I'm so happy for you. I want to, like, maybe because last year we had COVID and we were, like, literally I was in my room locked and my parents were in the living room and that's how we spent New Year's.
That's right. We had to do the New Year celebration a whole ass week later.
But I think that's, like, very important to me right now is just, I think I could say that I have given that, like, maturity step of, like, I do not want to do the same things that I was doing. I want to, like, you know, just do something different and spend it with mom and dad and just basically just grow, you know, start doing things for myself, start doing things that I like to do, start, you know, taking a pause, taking a moment to breathe and start just soaking it in.
A couple years back, a really good friend of mine, her name is Linda Garcia, or better known as Luz Warrior. She basically said, Luis, let's go hiking for New Year's. And I was like, ay, güey, no mames. No me voy a parar. Like, I'm going to be drunk. I'm going to be shit-faced. And she was like, mira, you can do that, and you actually do that every other weekend. But why not start the new year con energía, going on a hike, going and seeing the first sunrise of the year, and setting some intentions? And I was like, something clicked at that moment. This was like 4 or 5 years ago. And something clicked in that moment. And I was like, oh my God, you're absolutely right. And I tried it. And I remember that hike to the Wisdom Tree in Hollywood was like the worst. It's not a long hike, but it was just a steep hike. Y yo to pinche bodoque. Pues claro que no iba a aguantar. And I was like out of breath in the first incline. And I wrote 4 propósitos for the year. And 3 of them came true, and I started doing that until I got my gallbladder removed. And that year, I didn't do it, and I haven't done it since. But
we did it the year prior to last year, because last year we had COVID, but we did it together.
Well, yeah, that was before the gallbladder.
Oh, yes.
Maybe I don't want to go and do the hike this year, but I know that I don't want to get shit-faced on the 31st. And I know that I do want to wake up and see the sun rise. Like, for desde aquí, desde la casa.
Yeah. That's what I did for my 28th. Shout out to Alfred for giving me that.
Giving you what?
He was like, you should set your own ritual.
I showed him that.
Anyways, Alfred, thank you.
No, Alfred. Anyways, I feel like we talk about Alfred a lot on this podcast. We need to stop that. Because then he's gonna sue us for royalties. Think about doing something different. And listen, your family's gonna be like, what the heck? They're not going to understand it, because I remember the first time I did it, everybody was out partying and they kept on knocking on my door and they were like, come have a drink, come have a drink. And I was like, no, please stop. So I know it's difficult to go against the current, but try to do something new. And if you're going to go out, get shit faced and have a blast, chingon, no judgment. But what Luz Warrior said to me really resonated and was like, you can do that every night of the year, any weekend. Why start the year with a headache? Why start the year with a hangover? Started being active. Even if you're just going to get up and walk for an hour or go to the beach and run, like, set intentions, set goals. I think it's beautiful. And save that piece of paper or that notebook and come back in 6 months and take a look and see where you are with those goals. And it's even better when you finish the year and you look at that piece of paper and you're like, holy shit, I did. You know, it's great to scratch off some of those intentions. So that's what I would recommend.
I would also recommend the same. I feel that I wish that I would have done that sooner. But again, I think when we're all young. No,
I would have told you. And Judy, I invited you the first time I went. I invited again. You the second time. And me mandaste la chingada. So,
that's what I'm saying.
Wish I would have done that earlier. No, you do it. When the time is right.
When you're ready. When you're ready. Exactly. Yeah, most definitely. Because I was still in, I mean, I'm still in, like, booties mode, but.
She's still in her. The holiday season never ends with her.
But I think that now I'm at an age where I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound.
Let's try something new.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if anything, take the advice. Don't take it. It's up to you. Maybe it's not your time, but at least we planted a little seed in your head thinking about
or doing something different. Or do it for your birthday.
Or do it for your birthday as well. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But anyways, since a lot of you are on vacation, any bench-worthy shows
I honestly, so I got myself a projector for Christmas, which has been like the best investment, purchase okay. ever. Because I've never had a TV. I never really watched TV. No. I never really had a TV.
And now she's turning into a couch potato.
Oh my God. So I've been watching The Circle, which is like a very cringy show, but like you cannot stop watching cringy. I have also watched, we watched Wednesday. That was really good.
And why then, was Wednesday? Well, no spoilers. But yeah, if you can, if you haven't already, it seems like the whole world has watched Wednesday. But watch it. It's great. It's so Latino without like saying abuela.
In that same tone.
In that same tone.
And then I watched a movie that I had watched a long time ago, but then I rewatched it again, and then I was like, oh my God, I equally cried as much. It's called How to Get Over a Breakup. It's such a great movie.
I feel like you watch that once a year.
Shut the fuck up, you stupid. No, it's a really great movie. I would recommend it. It's perfect. It's a great movie. And that's kind of it. I've just been watching The Circle.
Okay. Well, I have a whole ass list.
He does.
Okay, let's start with the different platforms. My first platform is Hulu. So on Hulu, I would definitely recommend to watch Welcome to Chippendales. And it's a series. It's a great series. I'm on like episode 6 or 7. And it reminds me of El Place, when we used to have El Place.
I just want to know why you have a list of shows when you're always busy. You're always, you know, I don't got time
well,
for this.
Because
I got like five, six series going on.
All right. The next series that I just started watching today, and I'm on episode 2, is Secrets of Playboy. It is a really good series. This is like a documentary, and it's great. Definitely watch it. Now, moving on to Netflix.
I'm telling you, he has so much time.
Viñeta Makers, I thought I was going to like it.
But it was kind of, I started watching that too. It wasn't.
You know, here's the thing. Here's where I see the disconnect. The judges are kids on piñatas that are pieces of art. So, of course, the kids just want color and fucking candy.
Like what they know a piñata is.
Exactly.
A piñata. Oh my God.
Anyways, cringe.
Can you erase that?
No. And so I was really rooting for Piñata Makers, and I was really hoping for something great, but I feel like it's a miss. It's a complete miss.
But watch it.
But watch it, though. I feel like you should at least watch it.
The piñata creations are pretty cool, pero si los niños la cagaron.
Los niños la cagaron. Because, yeah, those kids are annoying.
I love kids.
And then you mentioned Wednesday. And then my guilty pleasure is Emily in Paris.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I started watching it, but I couldn't get into it.
No? Really?
No, I think it's because I was doing a lot of things in between, and I couldn't really get into it.
The reason why I got into it is because she's working in a marketing agency, and I work, like, that's, like, my...
That's your niche.
That's my niche. Okay, so then from HBO, I would say... HBO Max.
Hi, Luis.
Hay un documental que se llama Mushe.
I wish you could all see him. He's actually has his little notepad and his little plumita. Like, let me put down.
And I'm wearing my jorongo como señora, como vil señora. And then from HBO Max, I would watch Mushe. It's a great documentary de las Mushes en Oaxaca. Alfred put me into this, White Lotus. The first season was great. I got into it after the second episode. It's a very white show, like super gringo, es una mamada, but I think
super
it has
bland.
No, I think it has its moments for sure. So White Lotus, there's a second season now, and I don't know if Veneno is on there anymore, but if you go on there and you watch and you find Veneno, definitely watch that docuseries. Every single episode made me cry. So anyways, that's all for me. And what was that, Hudi? What have I learned from 2023? Thank you for asking.
Okay, Tio Luis.
Nothing.
What have you
Nothing.
Learned?
Nothing. Ya no cuenta. Ya no vale.
You know what? This whole time I was thinking like, oh, he expects me to say, ¿y tú? Pero pues, me vale madres. Just kidding.
But I will tell you what I want to accomplish for 2023.
No, I want to know what you learned. I genuinely want to know because
I know.
You just gave me a whole list of 5 things that you must have learned something from watching one.
So no, really. I don't know what I've learned, Hoodie. I don't know. Not when you put me on this spot and you don't ask me from the beginning.
No, we all want to know. We want to know because I feel like there's something that...
I've learned to be patient.
Really? Have you?
Yes.
Have
you? I've been trying my best. Trying my best. And that's all I can do.
I'm like, okay.
And... I think one of the things that I've learned a lot from this year is my relationship with Fernando. Like, I feel like I don't get him sometimes, and I definitely feel like he doesn't get me most of the time. But his patience, I could never...
Yeah, like... if you want to talk about patience, Fernando would be the most patient person on the planet.
He is the most patient.
Quoted by our nephew Richie. Why is Fernando...
Always smiling.
Why is Tio Fernando always happy?
But I think the biggest thing that I've learned this year is to not take somebody who cares about you and who has all the patience in the world for you for granted. And I tell Fernando that all the time. I'm like, oh my God, thank you,
Fernando,
so much.
If you're hearing this podcast, I hope you put this one on repeat.
I always tell him. Every night before we go to sleep, I'm like, thank you for being so patient with me. And I've learned...
I'm going to ask him.
Ask him.
I'm like, because you don't tell me that shit, and I'm the most patient with
no,
you.
No, you're not. Luis. No, you're not.
Es que cagas, güey. Siempre caga el palo.
Well, Fernando's always patient with me, regardless. So, you see? Anyways. I've learned to not take people that care for me and who are willing to put up with me for granted. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but... I make sure to let him know. And the other thing that I've learned this year is to admit cuando la cago.
Like, for example, when he told my mom que se la enchugara la...
That was just funny.
Did you apologize for that?
Yes. I was like, perdona, bebecita. No quiero que se te enchugue la jeta. And... So those are the things I've learned. But for next year, I really want to step away from the no merecedor context. Because I feel like that's something that I've been working with my therapist that I still haven't been able to really make wave with that. El no sentirte merecedor. And that is something that I struggle with a lot. And I hope that in 2023, my intentions of making everything and anything that I create, that I make it with the intention of merecedor. Like, I do deserve this, and I do deserve to be here. I do deserve to have this platform, and I do this. Like, I want to change that, and I want to feel like I do deserve.
Yeah, that's very important. I think one of the biggest things that Luis has ever said to me, that really, and even to this day, sticks out a lot. And something that I even tell my friends and my colleagues, and they're like, oh my God, like, I've never heard that, but yes, is take up space wherever you can, because that's really what it is. Like, wherever you feel you don't belong, yes, you belong, and you deserve to be there, and I think that's very important to just be aware of, you know, because yeah, sometimes you do things that you're just like, I don't know if I should be here, or I don't know if I deserve that, or maybe that, you know, just little self-doubts. But no, don't self-doubt yourself. 2023, you're the baddest bitch, you deserve it. And everything starts crying.
So anyways, muchas gracias, thank you so much for listening, and please comment, give us a rating, go to the podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast episodes, and rate us, give us a 5-star rating, leave us a comment, let us know what you think about this podcast, this journey that we're taking, and we hope that you enjoy it, because we are enjoying recording and getting together and kind of decompressing from
really,
the week.
Because me estás haciendo caras.
Well, that's the only resting bitch face I have. So, muchísimas gracias. Thank you. Follow us on TikTok at underscore D-I Guay, or on Instagram underscore D-I-G-U-E-Y D-I Guay. Itukudi, do you know your handles now?
I do. It's at J-V-V-G-U-I-L-A-R.
Okay, people are going to misspell that shit. They ain't going to find you, girl.
It's basically...
You need a simpler handle? Why are you trying to make your life complicated? All right, you know what?
I'm just going to put my link to my OnlyFans and hopefully y'all contribute to next year's
success. All right. Bye.
Bye.